Well, good morning again, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. Good to see so many people here. Lovely to be here. Nice, cool day. Very good day for singing, I think. Good day for warming up with a few songs to start with. Today, local service, we're going to do another book of Deuteronomy. So excited about that, everyone. It's been pretty heavy going the last few weeks with Deuteronomy, but this one is a little bit lighter, a little bit easier. So, and there's plenty in there, as usual, for us to get out a good message. So I hope everyone gets something out of it. So let's start with some songs. First of all, hand over to the band.
All right, thank you, Paul. If everyone would like to stand up, our first song for today is All of My Days.
Proclaim your awesome power, tell of mighty deeds, declare your future kingdom of everlasting peace, and my eyes, they look unto you always, and I am captured by your majesty.
Second song for today is Mighty to Save.
Mercy fall on me.
certainly warmed up this morning, which is good. Our last song for now is Holy is the Lord. Everyone, you can all take a seat.
Thank you, band. That was great. There's a few ones that weren't on the program shown in, thrown in there today by special request. So we'll just wait for the Sunday school crew to depart and reduce our numbers here. So as I was saying before, we're going to continue with the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy. Can you believe we've gotten that far through Deuteronomy? It's been quite an exercise. And what we've been finding as we've been going through the last group of chapters have been about laws that were given. I think I might have a... I can get back to the right screen. So chapters 5 to 26, I would actually say chapters 5 to 25 almost, have been more about laws, do this and do that, and don't do this. But what we've been finding as we've been going through them is a lot of the things aren't really relevant to us today in our society, but if you look at the principle behind of it, what's being said, the principle of it is just as alive and well today as it was in the time when the laws were given. And we just have to apply it in our situation. And the same thing applies to this chapter 26. It's not some of the more pointed laws that we've been dealing with over the past few weeks. It's more about praise and worship, in fact. It's instructions about what the Israelites were to do once they entered into the promised land and how they would show thanks to God for what he had given them and praise him. And of course, that is what we need to do all the time. So there's definitely a lesson in that for us. So before we start our reading, I'd like to repeat the Lord's Prayer from Luke chapter 11. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. So we had, as we've been going through the book, we've been talking about the history of Deuteronomy and how it's one of the oldest books that we have, and how it was the oldest copy was discovered at in one of the caves in Qumran. I won't go into that again today because we've been through it a few times. And I think we'll just make a start. I've got two main readings for you today. One is chapter 26 and another reading from 1 Peter, chapter 2. A couple of minor ones which we'll see as we get some psalms, because we're talking about praise, and the big go-to for praise is always the book of Psalms. So let's make a start with chapter 26. And it shall be, when thou art coming unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. So we're really talking about this tithing that the children of Israel were told to do, and that gift to the Lord, that portion that was go to the Lord, was also always to be holy and to be the first fruits, the best of what they had to offer. Leviticus 27:30, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Let's keep going. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. When we cried unto the Lord God our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, looked on our affliction and on our labour and our oppression, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And I think everyone here is familiar with the story of how the Israelites were delivered from the hand of the Egyptians, how Moses was given the task of leading them out and taking them through the plagues and the Egyptians, and then crossing the Red Sea and arriving at the Promised Land, which, of course, they didn't enter straight away because they didn't have the faith. They didn't believe that God would give them the strength to overcome the land. And so they were sentenced to a time of 40 years marching around in the wilderness until they were ready. In fact, all of the men that came out of Egypt, all bar Caleb and Joshua, didn't get into the Promised Land because they didn't have the faith to stand up and do what God had asked them to do. Okay, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a bit of a strange phrase. We see it quite often in the Bible. He hath brought us unto this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. So it's interesting, they haven't even entered into the land yet. They haven't had any battles. They haven't started to move in and take over. But Moses is giving them the instruction of what they need to do. And there's a couple of interesting things here. Reference to the tithe, of course. And it does say that this was the third year, and they were told initially when they entered the land, first year, eat what the land produced. Second year, do the same thing. And then the third year, to plant and flourish in the land. And this is really when this tithing was to kick in, that as the land was producing, well, it says milk and honey, flowing with milk and honey. It's obviously a metaphor. It's sort of a bit hard to imagine a land flowing with milk and honey. I think it would be a bit sticky. But obviously, it's referring to a land that is abundant. It's producing abundantly. If they only have water to drink, that's the bare necessities. But if they have milk, well, they're obviously doing very well. And if they have honey, well, they've got the sweetness of the land as well. They've got more than just the bare necessities of bread and water. They've got all that they need, and that's what the Lord has given them. So what are they to do when they get to that stage? Rejoice. Verse 11, thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. And thou hast made an end of tithing, all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, there's the reference to the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. So we see this principle that's evolving once again. It's not directly relevant to us in our society, but the principle certainly is. The Lord blesses us all the time. Sometimes we might have rough times, have a bad lot, but we're also told to rejoice when that happens as well, that the trying of our faith is a way that the Lord builds us up, trains us, and we must take the bad with the good. But when we do receive good from the Lord, then we need to rejoice and we need to thank him for that good. So the fact that they're going into the land, they're going to receive this land, it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, they're being told, don't forget where it all came from. Rejoice that the Lord has given it to you. And it's interesting there that you notice there are a couple of little rituals that were mentioned, things that they had to say. And I think that's an important point as well that we need to remember. We need rituals in a way ourselves as well. We come to church, we say our prayers, we read the Bible. We mustn't forget to do these things. People need a reminder and need to be constantly reminded how good that God is to us. Let's keep going. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. So we can see that it's a two-way street here. It's not God's going to give them everything and he doesn't want anything in return. There's a covenant here, there's a bargain here that they have to keep his commands. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made, in praise, in name, and in honour, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Now, the use of the word peculiar there is a bit strange to us as well. Doesn't mean they're weirdos. It means certainly means they're different. They are dedicated to God. They're special people to God. And here again, these are instructions that have been given to the Israelites at the time, but they are equally applicable to us because he is saying to us, he wants us to be his peculiar people, his special people. And there's a deal there. To get that, we have to keep his commandments. Now, just to see how that idea of Deuteronomy flows on and is applied in the New Testament and probably closer to home to us, I thought it would be good to read, I don't think I've got all of 1 Peter chapter 2, just a few verses there. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. For if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom, coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I can never get it out of my head when I read that verse, "a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence." The time when the council redid the road out the front, and we came here one day and there's this great big rock across the footpath in between our entrance and the next entrance. Well, we called that the rock of a fence. It's not that they're talking about. This is the rock of a fence. Jesus is a stumbling block to those who don't accept him. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Okay, so what Peter's getting onto now, he's also calling the people he's talking to, and he's talking to us. He's talking to us and calling us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, special people, not weirdo people, special people. Okay, and he's saying that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. So we'll talk a little bit more in detail about this later, but just briefly, what he's saying, that the Israelites were given that task of, sure, praising God, but bringing that sacrifice, going through the ritual. And what Peter's saying is that our job is to praise God, show forth the praises of him who hath called you. So let's read a little bit about praise. Hebrews 13 has a good verse, 13:15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." The Israelites were told to give a sacrifice, to give the first fruits of their produce, of their land. What we have to do is give the sacrifice of praise to God continually. As I said earlier, the Psalms is really the go-to when we're talking about praise, so there's a couple of Psalms I wanted to read to you. Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Forgot that I had this one in here. Acts chapter 16. It's a great story. I'm sure you all know it. I'd like to read a portion of it. It's when Paul and his companions are preaching, and this woman who is possessed with an evil spirit or a spirit starts following him, and every day she's just saying constantly, these men are the servants of the Most High God. They're going to show us the way of salvation. Now, this woman had been used by people who owned her, apparently, for soothsaying, for fortune-telling, if you like. And that was how they made their living. Now, let's read what happened when she did this to Paul. Actually, I better tell you what it was first. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out the same hour. So he put a stop to that. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. Everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Tremendous turnaround. And, of course, the event that caused it all to turn around, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, which is what we're talking about. That's what we're supposed to do, sing praises unto God. So let's do that now and sing hymn 105. And I'm going to ask Ben to come up and read the verse for me, because I'll go down and play the organ.
Yes, I was wondering how you're going to do that. Hymn 105. Oh, come, sweet anthems, let us sing just thanks to our Almighty King, for we our voices all should raise to join in the Creator's praise.
Thanks, Ben. Good praising, everyone. Sounded good. Sounded great from where I was sitting anyway. Okay, I've got just two little readings to read to you. Psalm 95, little section from Romans 12, and then let's talk about what we've been reading about. Psalm 95, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So there we have it. Praise, sing praises to God again, to the rock of our salvation. And of course, Jesus is that rock of our salvation. Just a few verses here from Romans 12, because we're talking here about what we should be doing as offering an offering to God. And Paul has something to say about that in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so I think that's our game. Our intention is that we want to try and do what God wants us to do, to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect to him. So we have all the instructions of how we are to do it. So just to go back over what we spoke about earlier, in verse 18, there was a deal made, a contract between the Israelites and God. He said, you're going to be my special people. You're going to be a holy nation. You're going to be a peculiar people, a special people. But it's not one-sided. They were told that they had to keep his commandments, as he hath promised thee that thou shouldst keep all his commandments. So it was a two-way deal, and we know from the history of the nation of Israel that that was a problem, that the Israelites didn't keep his commands. While ever they did keep his commands, they were blessed. Their nation was blessed. The people were blessed. They had a wonderful existence in this promised land flowing with milk and honey. But it's that two-way deal. And it's the same with us, equally applicable to us, that we need to keep God's commands. We need to be constantly seeking for that milk. They were given a land flowing with milk and honey. Peter says we should be seeking for the sincere milk of the word. So there's this direct comparison coming through in the New Testament all the time, an image of what was given to the Israelites in the Old Testament. So that's probably the first important point I thought we should take note of out of this chapter, this covenant that God had made with his people and what he would do for them. Now, in Peter, we read Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. So Peter's taking this theme through again and applying it to the people he's talking to Christians, to anyone who is willing to have that faith in Jesus Christ and take him as their saviour. And he's saying that what they are to do, what we are to do, is to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. In the same way that the Israelites were told they had to show their gratitude to God for what he had given them by giving of the first fruits of their land, the same way as God has called us to be in his family, a royal priesthood for them, a holy nation to him, that our duty is to praise him, to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. Now, one of the psalms that I read, I'll just find which one it was, Psalm 100, I thought that was a pretty good one, which gives us a summary of how we should go about this praising. How do we praise the Lord? So first of all, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Okay, good, we're doing that. Serve the Lord with gladness. We need to be happy about being Christians and following his commandments. We don't want to walk around like we've been baptized in vinegar. Look happy. And you might be happy if you look happy. Come before his presence with singing. Okay, we can do that. Know that the Lord is God. The Lord is God. Accept that he is ultimately who we go to. He's in control of everything. He created everything. He created us. He's given us everything that we have. So we have to recognize that he is a sovereign power. He is the Lord. And because of that, we have to enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Thanksgiving and praise. And that was what the Israelites were told to do when they received the produce of their land. That's what we are being asked to do to God, to praise him. Enter with thanksgiving and with praise. And be thankful. Be thankful and bless his name. Now, a lot of people have different ideas about how you should keep the commands. It's something that we have to work out for ourselves. And that's where it comes into seeking the sincere milk of the word, reading the word, and see what the Lord reveals to us, what he asks us to do. Some people feel that the law is not for them, that they just have to keep the minimal requirements, perhaps the Ten Commandments. Others feel that they should keep all the law. As we've been seeing, as we've been reading through the law, it's really not practical for us to keep the law as it was given these days. We can't go around sacrificing animals and doing what was given to the old Israelite nation. But, of course, we know that Jesus Christ fulfilled that ultimate sacrifice. The sacrifice of the animals was just a temporary thing, and they had to keep doing it and doing it, whereas Jesus Christ was sacrificed once for everyone because he was perfect. And from there, he entered in to the presence of God. and offered to the whole world that salvation. It's quite a remarkable thing, really. And then if we come to that last verse that we read from Romans, well, Jesus has done this for us. What should we do for him? We've been reading about praise, giving thanks. And what Paul says is to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be a walking, talking sacrifice. Always be ready to share that message of salvation with anybody you come across. Always be ready to acknowledge that God is sovereign, that he is the Lord. And don't forget to praise. So let's do a little bit more of that. And Ben, I'll ask you to come up again and just read the line of this one, hymn 59.
Have we got all five verses? Yes, we do. Okay. Hymn 59. In Patmos Jesus did to John appear and showed him glories which were very near. And in this day the Spirit is come down and brings the substance of the visions shown. And in this day the Spirit is come down and brings the substance of the visions shown. Thank you.
As I was saying, we have to praise God. So I thought I'd give you the opportunity to do it with all five verses of that song. It's one of my favorite hymns anyway. Okay, I'd like to just leave you with that verse from Deuteronomy. The Lord hath vouched thee this day to be his peculiar people. He hath promised, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. Thanks for coming today, everyone. Hope to see you all next week. Yeah.